Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today, July 22nd, is the day set aside in our Lutheran church calendar to remember Saint Mary Magdalene. We do not remember her by praying to her, worshiping her, or seeking any kind of merits from her. No, rather, we remember her by giving thanks to God for her, by following her example of faith and good works, and by strengthening our own faith in remembering how God showed his mercy to her. You may know that there are few biblical figures who have captured the secular imagination like Mary Magdalene. From medieval artwork, which depicted Mary as a beautiful, young, often scantily clad woman, to more recent fictional depictions of Mary as the wife of Christ, his lover, the guardian of the Holy Grail, or maybe the greatest apostle, the world has shown great interest in the person of Mary Magdalene, albeit wholly misguided. Now, even apart from those blatantly false ideas, Mary has been the subject of much thought and speculation within the church as well. There are many Christians throughout history who say that this Mary Magdalene is the Mary who was sister to Martha and Lazarus, or she is the same sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears and expensive ointment in the house of Simon the Pharisee. All that may or may not be true. It's a pious tradition, yes, but it's not clear from Scripture. What is clear from Scripture about Mary is this. She was once possessed by seven demons. Luke tells us this in his gospel. And he also tells us that the Lord Jesus had mercy on her, who was tormented by these evil spirits. He cast them out from her, healing her. And so in thanksgiving, Mary Magdalene responded by traveling with Jesus and the apostles, providing for their earthly needs out of her own means. She followed her Lord Jesus wherever he went, even to the foot of the cross, looking on as he died, and to the tomb as well, watching as his body was laid in that tomb. And it was at that same tomb that the risen Lord appeared to her and graciously chose her to bear witness to his resurrection to his own apostles, saying to her, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." That message is good news for the disciples, for Mary, and for you today. When Jesus says, "My Father and your Father, my God and your God," he is declaring that by his death and resurrection, he has restored to you what we had lost by our sin, God himself. Because of sin, we all, as Adam's children, lost God as our Father. But worse than being spiritual orphans, we became children of the devil, and Satan abuses his offspring. His lies rob us of true hope, leaving us only with false belief and despair. He dangles earthly desires in front of us as the greatest happiness and the highest good, only to leave us with just shame and vice. He promises unending pleasures, but the only thing that doesn't end is what he himself will endure, everlasting condemnation. The Lord Jesus had rescued Mary Magdalene from the demon's oppression, but when she saw that Jesus had been crucified and died, it would only have been natural for her to wonder if the demons were now to come back and torment her worse than ever before. Without Jesus, she knew that she was utterly and truly helpless and defenseless. Without Jesus, we all are. And so this grief, not only at Jesus' death, but her own abandonment, cut Mary to the heart. And so early that Sunday morning, she went to the tomb to grieve for her Savior, to care for his body, little knowing that God had already taken care of it himself. And so she ran to tell Peter and John that she found the tomb empty, that her worst fears had seemed to come true, that the body of Jesus had been stolen. And then she followed them back to the tomb as they went to examine it for themselves. And even after they returned home from that empty tomb, Mary remained there, not sure what to do next, all alone with her sin, with her fears, with her doubt. And while she stood there crying, first two angels and then Jesus himself asked her the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Why indeed? It's kind of ironic. If Mary had found what she was looking for in the first place at the tomb, if she had found Jesus' body, she, and indeed all of us, would have good reason to weep. Because if she had found in that tomb the dead, defeated body of her Lord Jesus Christ, then the whole world, every single last one of us, would be doomed to weep and gnash our teeth in hell forever. But thanks be to God, as we just sang moments ago, Christ is risen. He is neither dead nor defeated. The living Savior who conquered death knows every one of his sheep by name. And so he called her by name, Mary. She didn't recognize Jesus by sight, but she knew his voice. And when Jesus spoke, she immediately recognized the voice of her good shepherd. And everything at once fell into place. She had sought the Lord, and he answered her and delivered her from all her fears. In his presence, she found the pleasures of eternal life. His voice filled her broken heart with joy. For now she knew, she believed, that no demon could ever snatch her out of Christ's nail-pierced hands. God had called her by name, and she would never be alone again. Neither are you alone. For this same flesh and blood God, Jesus Christ, has called out your name too. He called out your name first when you were baptized. More than that, in that moment, he put his own name on you. You belong to him. And that's why Jesus said to Mary and to you that he is ascending to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Because of Christ's loving sacrifice for you at the cross, you have been reconciled to God. Yes, Jesus has restored you to God the Father, who has made himself known to you in Jesus the Son through the Holy Spirit. And he will keep his promise of joy forever in his presence. Jesus crossed that bridge from death to life so that no longer you would be separated from God. But you have been separated from something, your sin. Your Savior has freed you from the chains of wickedness. He has removed your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west. And now you are part of God's own family. As a loving father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has shown compassion to you. Now there were still the disciples, Peter and John and the rest. No doubt they were afraid that God would not be compassionate toward them. After all, remember what they had done. They denied Christ by their words and their deeds on Good Friday. You probably can recognize their worries. Which Christian has never felt guilt or shame over sin, wondering what God would say or do about it? And yet Jesus told Mary Magdalene, "Go to my brothers." Did you hear that? The righteous Lord in the flesh does not call them cowards, scoundrels, deserters. No, he claims them as his own brothers. It was amazing enough that before his death and resurrection, Jesus, the holy God, had called them his friends, these ordinary sinful men. But brothers takes his love to a whole new level. To be a brother of Christ is to be a fellow child of God, to share as an heir of all that he has. His resurrection is your resurrection. His victory over sin, death, and the devil is your victory. For Jesus endured all the assaults the devil could muster, and all the while he refused to stop loving and trusting in God and Father. You are the one for whom Jesus died as the perfect once and for all sacrifice. You are the one for whom he rose and ascended. And now our Father in heaven sees all of Christ's righteousness as yours by grace alone. And having been rescued from the fate of the devil and the demons, like Mary, your grief is turned into joy. Your crushed heart is healed and resurrected with faith. Your lips are opened to declare the Lord's praise to others. Think about it. Eve, the first woman in creation, was condemned for listening to the devil's voice. Mary Magdalene was saved by listening to Jesus' voice. God sent Eve out of the garden as the first bearer of bad news, the start of all of our sorrows. But God sent Mary Magdalene away from the garden tomb as the first messenger of the resurrection, announcing the end of all our sorrows. And we, fellow children of God, follow her example of devotion to the Lord for the grace that he has given to us. Not afraid of being close to Jesus, no matter what others might think, we too have been sent free to announce the same victory. We would invite the world into Christ's household, telling them what Mary Magdalene announced to the disciples many years ago, that Christ is risen indeed. Yes, this is difficult for the world to believe. For that matter, it's hard for us to believe too. For our eyes see death all around us. Our eyes see that death comes to everyone, women and men, old and young, sick and healthy, rich and poor. One after another, we know how the children of men are buried in graves. And so it is difficult to believe that anyone might have life after death. We face grief that seems to have no end, loneliness, pain, and everything else that causes real problems for our flesh and blood. And so that we would not give up, it is necessary to hear again and again and again the good news found in the Bible alone. Not just so we can tell others, but also so that we ourselves can hear our shepherd's voice too. We need to hear Jesus tell us that things are not what they appear to be in the world, that death does not have the victory. For Christ has won the victory on the cross. He has taken care of our sin. He is risen from the grave. He showed himself alive to Mary Magdalene, Peter, Thomas, and many others. This real flesh and blood, living Lord Jesus is the answer to all of your prayers. He has forgiven all of your sins and claims you to be his brother. He has washed you in holy baptism. He feeds you his body and blood in communion. He has gathered you into his flock, even as he has gathered all of your loved ones who have already died in the faith. He gives you an eternal kingdom and a joyful reunion with those you love who have died in Christ. He has ascended to the Father, and in his time, in his good pleasure, you will join him there. So like Mary Magdalene, despite your past, whoever you may be, whatever your sins may have been, Jesus Christ is your gracious God who knows you by name and who has called you by name. And so you are his forever. In Jesus' name.